Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Woggon and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from triathlon to gravel racing. And today I'm talking to Scotty Loughland, who just took us with him on a ride on Madeira Island, because he was taking over the Schwalbe Instagram account and we could join him on the Trans Madeira race he did. I talked with him about the race and about Madeira and wanted to know what it's all about to racing on this island. All this in this episode of Pumped. Hey Scotty, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Hey Toby, I am in Scotland, not long back from the infamous Trans Madeira, had a brilliant time. And come home, and it's been wet, it's been cold. I think that we're not far away from kind of autumn changing to winter. So the Trans Madeira was the perfect kind of last trip of the year, just to get you, just to kind of bring you into winter and keep the spirits high.
So now you're in a perfectly Scottish weather again for the winter.
Yeah, I can't say I'm really looking forward to winter. Summer this year has just been absolutely incredible, some brilliant riding trips, but you know, I guess we've got to take the bad with the good. We've got to know the different seasons to be able to appreciate summer.
Yeah, definitely. So a couple of weeks or days ago, you took us with you to Trans Madeira and you did a really, really good job in on an Instagram takeover on the official Schwalbe Instagram page. So we all could join you on the Trans Madeira. And now I want to talk to you about your experience and what is Trans Madeira all about, because we hear a lot of Trans Madeira and it's the it happened the last years and it feels like it's officially in the racing calendar. Is it like this? I mean, is it a race what you need to join?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a race. It should be on, I'd say, every rider's bucket list, because it's not just about the racing. It's about going to Madeira, experiencing the culture, experiencing the riding. It's a complete journey. You start on one side of the island, you finish on the other. I'd say you ride pretty much every single trail on the island. There's 30 stages over 5 days, different terrain every day, different places. We never rode the same trail twice, and it was just a complete adventure from start to finish. You're all camping together, you're all staying together, you're all eating together, shuttling together. It's one of a kind adventure, and it is, like I said already, a bucket list thing. I've always wanted to do this kind of race. You're racing blind, so you don't get any pre-practice, you don't get to have a read of the stages. It's really you against a mountain, and I'd probably say in some ways it's almost the purest form of mountain bike racing. Mm-hmm. Where you're going as fast as you can and you're just riding your bike. The trails are absolutely amazing and you're just having a great time. You come away with new friends, new experiences, you have your own personal struggles throughout the week, you might have some mechanicals, and yeah, it was honestly brilliant. I couldn't recommend it more to anyone who loves mountain biking.
That sounds really, really good and really, really interesting. I mean, the first time we got to know Madeira was when EWAS took place over there. And so I think it's pretty easy. It's not easy, but it's easier to host the EWAS, where you have a one-day race where you can choose the best trails to race on. But having a four-day format, it's a completely different story, and especially on such a small island. Have you seen some new trails you never seen before, or have they built some new stuff specially for the race, or is there already enough trails existing on the island to make such a long race?
So I think the first 3 days were days that they'd already used before. They were really fun stages. They were well ridden in. A mix of technical, a mix of real fun, some pedally ones in there. And then day 4 and 5, both days had pretty much, I think, brand new stages. Mm-hmm. There was 2 stages in the race that had been built specifically for it. One was completely fresh. I think we were the first tires to dirt, except for obviously the trail builders, to test it. And then another one, which was just really fun and flowy. I think it was maybe pretty new, or it might have been used in the last round of the Transmadeira. The round that we just did was the 9th edition of it. And it was brilliant. It was just about, I think it was about a 5.5 minute flow trail, just ripping through the ferns, through the kind of, it's quite a unique growth, I'd say, in the island. A lot of things grow really fast because they have a lot of rain, but they also have a lot of sun, and you're just ripping through this kind of shrubbery and lots of ferns and just flowing. The dirt was brilliant. It rained a little bit overnight, so it was tacky, and you could just really trust that you're going to be able to find grip and dig those tires in, which wasn't the same on the first few days. There was a bit of rain and there were some seriously slippy conditions.
So, as you said, it's a 9th edition, and the first couple of editions were more or less an invitation only race. But these days we heard so much good stuff about Transmadeira, and as you said, it should be on the back list of every rider. So what makes this race and this island so special?
I think answering the part about the race first, there's 140 racers from all over the world who are just there for the pure fun of it. I can't remember the exact number, but it might have, I want to say it was 26 different countries were there.
Whoa.
There was Canadians, there was Americans, there was people from across Europe, the UK, South Africa. And what got me straight away was that on day 0, when you enter camp, everyone's kind of a little bit, not standoffish, but no one really knows where anyone is or who they are.
Yeah.
And you're saying hi to people, everyone's super friendly. You go for a big group ride, which is optional, kind of a bit of a shakedown. You get dropped at the highest point and you ride back down to camp, which is super cool, and some amazing trails. Then you go and have dinner, and then from there it's kind of, you're thrown straight into it with a big rider meeting, and then the following morning you're up at, it was about a 6:30 wake up every morning to have breakfast.
Whoa.
And then you'd be on the shuttle for 8:30 and out for the day. But at that point, everyone comes together and you start to know people, you start to recognize people on the trail, you start chatting, and you realize that everyone who is there is just completely passionate about bikes. They love riding, whether it's for their holiday or an experience of taking the trails of Madeira, or they're there to give it their all and try and take the win. And there was a good few riders. It was a super competitive event where people were really pushing hard on the stages. And the overall winner, Matteo Lombardi, he had a few battles with various people. And that was just really cool to see. It was challenging at times.
Yeah.
It was fast racing. You had to give it your all, and there was, you know, I know where I lost a lot of time and where I gained some time, but the main thing was that I was just there to have fun, meet new people, and came away with, you know, a bunch of new friends who hopefully get to ride with, that are from around the world, or maybe even go and do a similar event like this somewhere else.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good, and it's always good to meet new people, and it's always surprising that there are a couple of really, really fast racers you don't know the names, and they are really ripping. So this is really cool. I mean, Madeira is a pretty special place because it's so far in the ocean, and it's just this little island and nothing around. So how is Madeira, and what makes Madeira so special?
I think if you've never been to Madeira, the way to sum it up would be diverse. It's set in the, is it the Pacific Ocean, I think it is? And it's known for just having a little bit of everything. So they get the weather front blowing in, you'll get patches that are wet, you see these crazy inversions. The scenery is beautiful, big clifftops, rocks, kind of epic views of these mountains. I think the highest mountain is over 2,000 meters anyway, I can't remember the exact height, but it's big. And there's just so many intertwined paths in there that you can ride, that you can take your bike on. I mean, if you don't want to ride, you can just go and walk and experience it as an island, which is also pretty special. You know, everyone's very welcoming, they're friendly, the food scene, the culture is brilliant. One of the days we had freshly caught tuna that was grilled, which was just absolutely delicious. It'd been a big day on the bike, and the food overall at Transmadeira was brilliant, but that night it was just exceptional. And you're in the capital, which is Funchal, right down at the ocean, barbecue's on, tuna's being grilled right there in front of you, and it was really special. So I think the food, the culture, the terrain, the views, the landscape, the riding, the people, the passion of the people who are there, it's all just very unique and super special, and there's a really good feeling about the island.
It definitely sounds like a place everyone should visit, because it really sounds amazing. And to be honest, I mean, I've been a lot on the Canary Islands, which are a little bit further south, but I've never been to Madeira, and it's definitely on my bucket list. And if you go to the Canary Islands, you mostly ride on hiking tracks, but it seems like the people on Madeira, they put a lot of work into building trails. So how is the riding on Madeira, and how are the trails?
Yeah, so Freeride Madeira, who organized Transmadeira, John Antonio and his team, they do just an incredible job of not only building trails, but maintaining the trails that are already there. So they have a team of trail builders. Whenever anyone comes to the island and books with them, a percentage goes back into trail building. They've got quite a few official trail builders who it's just their full-time job to go out onto the trails and build and maintain them. And just the breadth of trails on offer there it's incredible. I mean, I think any mountain biker could go there and find something that they like, be it natural, be it tech, be it kind of more cross-country based and pedaling. There's something for everyone. And I've been there now 3 times, and every time I go, there's a new trail to ride or a new jump line, or there's just, they do such a good job of looking after them and building and catering for mountain bikers. It's really cool. I think some of the best trails I've ever ridden are in fact there as well.
Okay.
On day three of Transmadeira, it's called Adventure Day, and it's called Adventure Day for a reason. You're out on the bike from, breakfast starts at 5:30 that day. You're on the shuttle at 7:30, and you're on your bike basically for, I think it was 10 or 11 hours that we were just with the bikes, riding different stages. We crossed pretty much the entire center part of the island, riding through an area called Nuns Valley, which we later learned, I believe, is where the nuns on the island used to run away and hide from the pirates that would be crossing through the ocean. So we were riding down that, which was just, it was super epic. There's cliff tops all around you, incredible views. You have to take on quite a challenging hiker bike. It was about 2 hours, I'd say, something like that. And then you just ride this ribbon of single track along the edge. It's not timed, that's not in the race, it's just part of the experience. A bit of undulating, climbing, you get to a food stop. You kind of, you know, everyone there is super relieved and very thankful to have snacks, water, drinks, and then refueled. You take on the next part, which is crossing through the Levadas, And I'm sure anyone who's watched any Transmadeira videos will have seen this. It's very unique to the event. You can't ride these trails out with the event, so it's kind of a benefit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You cross through them. The levadas were built, I think it was in the... It was either late 1800s or early 1900s as a way to transport water around the island.
Mm-hmm.
And the tunnels are super narrow. They're at least 500 meters. It feels more like a kilometer when you're in them. You're carrying your bike, holding a torch or your phone to get as much light as you can and just kind of following your feet one at a time. It's something that can't really be described or shown without having the true experience of it, but it's absolutely amazing. You pass through waterfalls along the edge of the running water, and then you end up at what they say is the best trail ever. And I can't actually describe what the grip and the terrain is like. You're flowing through the rainforest, huge ferns all around you, the dirt's this kind of volcanic ash, and it's just, you know, you're pushing into the turns, the dirt's coming up over you, and at times it's actually hitting you if you hit the next turn. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's like nothing else that I've ever ridden, and just, you're almost riding down it laughing, but at the same time going as fast as you can and just trusting your instincts, trusting the bike, and praying that you have grip when you hit some of the turns, because you know no one's had the chance to ride these trails beforehand unless you've done the event prior. And
yeah.
It was just, honestly, it was one of those experiences. You know, we got down and everyone's just laughing, high-fiving, cheering, and being like, that was the best trail ever. And it's you know, you've gone through the struggles of this hiker bike, of being on the bike for hours, of feeling fatigued, of, you know, doubting yourself that you're going to make it. You're like, come on. And then you hit that trail and you completely forget about everything and you're just so stoked and riding your mountain bike. And I think that day was probably the highlight for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just had so, so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're really used to going on an adventure, and it sounds like adventure, but it sounds like a normal ride in Scotland, huh? Where you really don't know what to expect. So you're probably
100%.
You're probably the right person for the adventure day. So
yeah, no, I absolutely loved it. But what I would say is, it's one thing doing it in Scotland where it's, you know, 15 degrees. Probably on an average day.
Yeah.
It's another thing doing in Madeira when it's, you know, I think it was 23 degrees that day and pre-humid and sweating a lot. And that was the fifth consecutive day of riding that we'd done at that point. And
yeah,
there is definitely a lot of fatigue. So yeah, if I went back to the event, I'd do things slightly differently and not do a full day shuttling before the event and then the shakedown ride and then into 5 days of riding / racing. So
yeah, maybe that's better, yeah, for next time. So you already told us about the mental and the physical struggles, and we already learned about Adventure Day, but can you talk us through your race? I mean, where did you struggle? Where did you have the best day or the best moment of the race?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've not raced for... I raced... The last EWS I did was in 2015, and then I've done, you know, a couple of smaller things just for fun, but not the last couple of years. So this was going to be the first kind of forte back into racing, and I truly loved it, but the first day, just finding that pace again, you know, I know that I can ride trails fast and feel good on the bike, but it's a totally different experience when you're doing it top to bottom on a trail.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going as hard as you can. And in between those sections, you're also sprinting. And some of the trails were, you know, I think the shortest stage might have been about 3.5-4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Other trails were right up to 9 minutes. And it's a long time since I've held on to my bike for 9 minutes. Never mind doing it, you know, there was probably a stage every day where it was, you know, a good 6 to 8 minutes anyway. So, you know, the consecutive days of that built up some pretty good fatigue, I'd say. And I had a lot of arm pump, especially on day three. There was one stage in particular that it was 9 minutes. It was fast. It was rocky. It was pretty rough. And there are some big compressions in there. And it is definitely one thing riding for fun, doing my video projects, shooting for them, riding. But then when you're racing, and you know, whenever you race, as soon as you put on a number board, you have a target or you have a goal, and you want to do the best that you can, and you want to push yourself. And I think just the, not the frustrations, but the thoughts and the feelings of wanting to go as fast as you can, pushing hard, making mistakes, having crashes, almost having crashes. And there is no one that rode a perfect race.
Yeah.
You can't really do that 5 days in a row. It's about managing those small mistakes to make sure that you find consistency, you find your limit where you can keep pushing as hard as you can, but also go as fast as you can. So it was a challenging race in a lot of ways, but a lot of fun. And I think towards the end, I started to feel a lot more comfortable. I started to find my rhythm again. But that wasn't with its own challenges. I think even on stage one, you know, I went off the start gate pretty hot, sprinted into it, and then about a minute in, made a pretty big mistake where I smacked my backpack off a tree and almost completely threw me off track. And, you know, when that happens on a downhill race, you've got to quickly reset, but I just didn't have that kind of comfortableness, let's say, to reset and find the flow again, and it definitely shook me up a little bit and took me a bit to get into it, but it was super fun. Towards the end of the week, I started following the eventual race leader. We dropped into two stages. I had a mechanical on stage one, day five, so put me out of really doing anything. So Matty Lombardi, who won, was like, hey, jump on, follow behind me. And it was just, it was interesting seeing how hard he was pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily all the time on the technical sections, but he would be putting in little pedal strokes where perhaps I wouldn't have thought of pedaling or taking just that little bit more and being comfortable at sprinting. And I followed him on, it was about a 7 minute stage, 8 minute stage. And followed him fine for the first part. And then there was one little climb and he just dropped the power down. And after the mechanical that I'd had in the morning, I decided, I was like, no, I'm just going to chill, enjoy these last few stages. He put the power down and just left me. And I was like, okay, so that's one thing that I've learned going forward is if I want to do these races, you really need to work on your fitness if you want to be competitive. Just those short, sharp sprints, just to maintain that average speed, keep that high throughout, and have good acceleration out of the corners on the flats.
Yeah. I think it's so, it's mentally so hard to really start in the first day and being chilled and not pushing too hard, because I mean the race is long. 5 days, it's really, really hard, and to still have the power on the last days, or on the last day, it's you need to work on your fitness, but you also have to chill a little bit through the race to still have the fitness on the end of the race.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, there was lots of people who had a mechanical on stage two. One of the riders from America who we kind of ended up all grouping together, called Tate, broke his wheel stage two, day one.
Mm.
And, you know, he was very fortunate that another rider had come down and he'd unfortunately injured himself and couldn't carry on racing. So he offered his wheel to Tate and Tate was able to finish the race. But, you know, you've got to be able to get your bike through 5 days of riding.
Yeah.
It adds up to be probably, you know, 15,000 plus meters of descending over those 5 days, 30 special stages, and the eventual winner, you know, he got his bike to the line without any major mechanicals and was the best overall rider in terms of fitness, in terms of riding ability and making it to the finish line. And that kind of is a goal that when you get there, you need to get to the end.
Yeah.
And there are every day there is people dropping out, be that mechanical or injury. So I think just completing it is something to celebrate in itself.
Yeah. So what I really like on these events is, I mean, if you have a downhill race, you have the fastest rider down the mountain on this track. But on a event like this, in the end, you really have probably the best mountain biker of the group, because you need to race blind. You need to be really the best on every section, and this is pretty cool. And especially if you're racing blind, you need to decide so quick which line, which if you jump or not, and so in the end, it's really the best mountain biker. One special thing on Transmadeira is that you're not coming home from a long day on the bike and you're going into a cozy, warm hotel. So you're camping on the either a soccer field or something. And what was harder for you, to racing 5 days in a row or to sleep 5 days in a row in a tent?
Yeah, like you said, it's you finish your day's riding and you come back to camp, which was 140 tents. Everyone was in a sleeping bag, pillow. Some nights were pretty uncomfortable because it was warm on the beach, and it was definitely an experience in itself. But I think the fact that everyone was doing it made it incredibly equal. So, you know, everyone had their complaints, or they were too hot, or it was too noisy, or you could hear someone snoring. But at the same time, everyone was evenly matched, and that was pretty cool. That's one thing that I do think about this style of racing makes it very fair. No one had a mechanic. No one had any advantage over the other. It was all that you could bring in your bag, all that you could fit in your tent, and that was it once you were into day one. Everyone was just equal. And whilst it might not have been the most comfortable, you just got on with it, and it was part of the experience. It was part of the journey. And the 140 riders became like a little community where people would help you out. You'd share various things, be that food, spares. You'd help each other in the trails if you had a mechanical or a puncture. And I think it's part of the special thing that makes the event. If you're all in a hotel, the community wouldn't be there, because everyone's camping, everyone's eating together, everyone's recovering together, talking about the day. It creates a really special buzz, and everyone's very friendly, welcoming, lots of high five, lots of laughing, beers being drank. So whilst it maybe wasn't the most luxurious, you could say, it was definitely a special experience, and I don't think that should be changed about the event. On the final day, you finish up at a five-star hotel at the bottom of Calheta, and everyone is equally as stoked to check into a room, have a nice warm shower, and then, you know, we all went up to either the pool or to the bar, and then the party started, basically, and everyone's got new friends. We were sat at a table on the final night. There's 10 people on the table who were strangers at the start of the week, and then I can comfortably say we're all friends by the end of it. And I think that is just one of the many things that makes the event incredibly special.
Yeah, it sounds really, really good. And in the end of the podcast, I really want to ask you a couple of really short questions. So would you do the event again?
Yep, definitely. I don't think I would do it necessarily next year. I think maybe the year after, something like that. I would love to go back and do it, and, you know, maybe think differently about how I approached it, and train maybe I mean, I didn't train for this one, so I would love to go back and, you know, just have done a little bit more preparation, be that on the physical side, on the strength side, maybe thought a little bit more about bike setup. I was constantly each day thinking differently and lowering fork pressures and a little bit less in tires, just to try and balance out some of the fatigue. Mm-hmm. and help with my hands. So just, you know, bearing that in mind, perhaps having done some sprints and also just having done some prep to ride long downhills like we would be riding, because it's not something that I regularly do now. Mm-hmm. The riding days I was comfortable with, they were within my limit for sure. But yeah, I think I'd definitely train differently for it and practice those longer stages with the little bits of sprints in between and just work and keeping a high average speed and maintaining your momentum.
Yeah. For whom would you recommend the race?
I think anyone who loves mountain biking, who has a sense of adventure and wants to gain a new experience, I think it's the perfect event for them, because that's exactly what you get, and you have a really an incredible time that, you know, these memories and these stories will live with me forever. And I get to go on lots of amazing trips around the world. I'm lucky that mountain biking is my job, but this was a truly fun event that I think I'll always remember.
Okay. What should you bring to the event? What is the most important item you had or you wish you had on the race?
Interesting question. Most important item I had. I think what I'd say is lots of changes of clothes, because the weather in Madeira is quite unpredictable. It was wet sometimes in the morning, and then by the afternoon it'd be roasting hot, really warm. So I think lots of riding gear. I mean, I pretty much only rode in shorts and a jersey. Mm-hmm. But having a fresh pair to put on every day, it's just something really nice about it. Mm-hmm. And what would I wish that I had? Maybe a warm shower. there were warm showers, but they weren't always super accessible, and they're also quite popular. So
yeah,
a couple of days we just had showers on the beach, which was nice, and you could obviously jump in the ocean, but there's something nice about having a warm shower at the end of a big day on the bike. So that's probably what I'd recommend bringing and what I'd wish for.
Okay. And I mean, Transmadeira is not the only multi-stage event in the year. I mean, there are a couple of really cool events, if it's in New Zealand or if it's in the Alps or in Italy. So do you have anything else in mind, any race you really want to do?
Yeah, definitely. I think the style of racing is something that I always wanted to do when I was competing in EWS. I love riding at trails blind, because there's only one chance that you'll ever get to do that. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple. Trans BC definitely interests me. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go and explore more there. And coming away from Trans Madeira, what I've realized is that these events just give you an opportunity to fully explore where you are and really, really get taken to the best parts, be shown around by locals, and also immerse yourself in the culture, where you get to eat local food, they look after you, they're very hospitable, and it's just a true immersion. So Trans BC is on the list, Trans Sierra Norte, which is in Mexico, in Oaxaca, is definitely on the list, and there's some popping up in the Alps that I'd definitely be interested to do. Since I come back, I raced with a friend, Chris, and we've kind of every time we've found one, we've been like, hey, look at this one, man. And there's so many to choose, but I think what makes Transmadeira special and also quite unique is the fact that you move, so camp moves every day on the island. So you visit different places, like the first day you're at the beach, the next day you're in the capital, the next day you're in the soccer field, the next day you're back on the beach. And I think that moving around the island was just a really nice way to fully immerse yourself in the various parts of the island's culture and also see the diverse landscapes of where you were. And it's only when you come home that you realize all these things, and they've just put out the highlights video of the event, mm-hmm. and there's so many little details that you forget about and the places that you went, because you know your brain's just getting filled with these experiences on a daily basis that you almost can't compute what quite all has happened, that you come home and you're like, wow, that was actually a truly amazing ride and truly amazing experience that you're not going to forget in a while, but you're just so overwhelmed at that moment. And then you come home and you're like, damn, it's almost like type 2 fun, where at the in the moment, you're not always enjoying it, but as soon as you finish and you relive it, you're like, that was absolutely incredible. That was an unforgettable experience that, you can't always get.
Mountain biking is a perfect tool to really explore a landscape, to explore a country or something. And there's no better way than doing this with 140 other friends and all having the same experience and the same amount of fun. So these races are probably the format I will do in the future as well. And I'm really looking forward to see you on your next race, if it's in Canada or in Italy, and maybe we can share a race together and have good fun. So Scotty, thanks a lot for your time, and I hope the winter won't be too bad for you in Scotland, and hopefully we see us again. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.